The conference will now begin.
Once the lady says the conference begins, the conference begins. Okay, here we go. Oh, Yaakov, you saw that? Can we see you saw for a second?
Yeah,
there you go. Sam's here.
Sam. Oh, Sam, nice. You're on the computer, though, Sam.
I'm on the call.
Oh, wow. So why is your face on the screen? Maybe it's a different Sam.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a Sam on the, that was you. Okay, here we go, Kevin. Here we go. Enough horsing around over here. So we started last week on page 120 in the BRI edition, Os Hei, Halacha Gimel Os Hei. And Rabbi Nassim started off with the Hanhaga and potentially the Halacha of Breslov, which is that one does not drink or eat anything from the time he goes to sleep until after Shachris. This is Shulchan Aruch talks about eating. You're not supposed to eat for sure until after Shachris, and certain drinks you're not supposed to drink. The Halacha L'maaseh is that water you could drink, and even coffee with sugar and milk became accepted. But by Breslov, it's absolutely not accepted. Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Nachman are very strong about it. And Rabbi Nassim, we saw last week, I don't even want to read the words again because it was very strong what he said. Rabbi Nassim was very, very upset. And anybody who would dare drink before davening. Now, we will continue today to explain a little bit more, but I just want to say, for those who were hurt by that and really like to drink their coffee before davening, that A, not all Hasidim hold of that. So unless you're like an absolute Breslover, most Hasidim don't hold like that. And I spoke to Rav Weinberger. He said that the Teva has changed. Rabbi Nassim was talking to stronger people. It's a weaker door. And therefore we need our water or maybe our coffee before davening. A big coffee. Thank you, Jay, yes. We need multiple coffees per day. And therefore, one should understand the Indian, but we don't have to, if you would like, take it upon yourself and you think that you can do it and it won't hurt your davening, go ahead. But if a person thinks it will hurt his davening or it's going to throw him off and he can't wake up without it, don't worry, Al Tidag. We'll learn today what the Indian is and we could still be Mekayim the Indian even without actually fasting before davening. So I just wanted to mention on page 121, so we said last week, let's just chazer for a second, that what we're trying to do here is we want to raise up, we want to be Masakin Emunah. We're always trying to look to help out, to work on our Emunah in all different facets. And one of the ways that we build and solidify our Emunah is by raising the Nitzotze HaDibur, raising the sparks of Dibur. We use a lot of speech during the day, a lot of speech used for Chol, for secular things, and a lot of speech used for Kedusha things. A lot of speech. We also use our mouth to eat. Some people use their mouth to yell at people. The mouth is used a tremendous amount during the day, and therefore it's a big makam of avoda that one must work on. And for our emunah purposes, we really need to strengthen, to mechazik, the union of the mouth as much as possible. And what Rabbi Nassim is saying is that there's a big problem that we have in the penis of our food eating process, we'll see in a minute, there's some klipos. There's some bad guys over there that are trying to chop our food and chop the way we eat and trying to turn it lamavis, turn to death and throw us off. So I said last week, I didn't explain because Rabbi Nassim just said the klipos on this gabin, but I said there's a note here that we can explain a little bit more in depth. So let's look at note number 71 here. On page 121 in the BRI editions, note 71, he says, the Arizal teaches that each body part has a corresponding klipa that is empowered when holiness is lacking. Our whole body could be used, the tov, to be used for mitzvahs. The Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us a body and energy in order to serve him. But if we don't, that energy is going to the klipas. If it's not used the tov, it's going to the other place. Now, it doesn't mean a person has to use his energy and his body in the absolute peak way or else it's going to go to the klipas, no. But it has to be guided at least towards growing in some area or else it's going to be wasted and used against you. So each body part has a corresponding klipa. he identifies, there's the Arizal, identifies the klipos, the parallel trachea, the esophagus, and the jugular veins, those parts of the neck, and that you used for eating and speaking, all those things. Those three parts, he corresponds them with Paro's three officials, he explains. The trachea, the windpipe, which aids in maintaining the body's fluids by carrying air to the lungs, which of course has to do with speech, corresponds to Paro's chief cupbearer, the Sarmashkin. Now, we know the Sarmashkin from Yosef, who's in charge of drink. The esophagus, which is the food pipe, which carries food from the mouth to the stomach, corresponds to Paro's chief baker, the Sar HaOfer. The jugular veins that pass through the neck are responsible for draining blood and so correspond to the Paro's chief butcher, the Sar HaTabachim. Paro himself is identified with the klipa that his name suggests, who stands at the HaOrif, because Paro, the letters Paro, could be switched on HaOrif, the back of the neck, which has to do with Kali Yisrael being a stiff-necked people, which was like the worst crime we did by the Egel Zav, that Hashem said you're a stiff-necked people. That has to do with the stubbornness, or the obstinance, I believe is also a fancy word, that we expressed by the Egel and other times. And that is Paro of the Yid. So those are the klipos. When a person is not going to eat properly, when a person is going to not be davening properly, jump to note 73. I wanted to read this also last week. Jump to number 73 in the BRI edition. Similar to indulging in eating, speaking, or praying improperly, which they say is absent-minded prayer, which is something, unfortunately, that there's nobody around here could say that they don't daven some prayers absent-mindedly. I mean, it's, you know, davening is hard to focus the whole time. But when your mind wanders and you're just saying words, where are they going? If they're not focused, when you focus and you're trying to focus on Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're focusing on Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah, you actually know it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so those words will literally go to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when you're not focused, like imagine taking a hose and you want to water your plants. So you take the hose and you focus it on the plants. What happens when you're talking to the guy comes over and right, he starts talking to you and the hose starts to, you don't focus the hose, it's going to go on your kid, it's going to go on your dog, it's going to go all over the place. It can go on the guy, the neighbor you haven't paying attention to, it goes all over the place. Goes into the Rosh Hashanah. So unfortunately, that's what happens. Doesn't mean you're a Rosh, but if you have absent-minded prayer, it's going to what? It's going to strengthen the klipos here. The klipos are, in this case, again, davening absent-mindedly. But the more you daven without kavana, the more you will continue to daven without kavana. In the human body, the organs of speech lie adjacent to the trachea, the esophagus, and the jugular veins. So not only we have to be very careful with our eating because Paro's officials are coming to chop that food that we're eating. Also, our speech, other parts of our mouth, are right next to these officials, who are the klipos that are going to try to grab our speech and try to make us wander or speak inappropriately to other people. This proximity enables Paro's three officials, the klipos associated with the throat that we just mentioned, the Sar HaMashkim, the trachea and the Sar HaOfim, which is the esophagus, and then the Sar HaTabachim, which is next to the jugular veins. Those officials that are associated with the throat, they trap the letters of speech. They chop the speech in the narrow of the throat. The Meitzar, min haMeitzar karasiko, or Bein haMitzarim, in the Mitzrayim, the narrow part of the speech, of the throat. Then Paro, the klipa, the head honcho klipa, stands at the back of the neck, and he draws sustenance from the holy sparks. Because those sparks that you should have used for speech, for davening, for saying nice things to people, instead of going out of your mouth, it got chopped in your neck. I can't show you, okay? My big beard over here. It got chopped in your neck somewhere from those three officials, and Paro's in the back of the neck, instead takes those words and he utilizes them for his own doing. When a person... One of the worst, not in rishus, but one of the worst things a person can do for himself in terms of avodah is when he's doing a mitzvah, davening or learning, in an inappropriate way. Why is that the worst? Because you think you're doing a good thing. Well, I went to davening. That's a beautiful thing. But if you're going to daven absent-minded, you're never going to correct yourself. Because you go to davening, and you think, okay, at least I davened, which is true. but it's going to go to the clip of Paro, and Paro is someone who's a Balgaiva, and he's stubborn, and therefore what can happen is the person, unfortunately, could go 120 years in his life and just die in the same way. Or he can just learn, you know, a person could go to a Das Yom Shir for 30, 40, 50 years, but his mind is elsewhere. It can be. It's possible. His mind is elsewhere, but at least he's going, which there is some truth to that, of course, at least he's going to a Shir. But he's to mechazik himself because he has to fight against those klipas that are trying to chop the letters and being yoni from those letters and sustain himself from these letters. So Rabbi Nelson told us last week. He also told us 200 years ago, but we learned it last week, that the tikkun, the way that we can misakin this problem is to take a tainus, to fast. We have to fast, and we spoke about this on Shavuos Batamas, that's why it was apropos. And we'll see that the fast doesn't just have to be a full day fast. It can also be a fast of shows, of hours. You could take upon yourself an hour, 2 hours during the day. Specifically, you're not going to eat. It's become a popular thing in the dieting world. There's an Indian now, fasting for hours.
Intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting. So if you're, I like to tell people, if you're already going to do that, if you're already going to be involved in intermittent fasting, at least have kavana, it's a shame shemayim. You're already doing it, you know? Like one of the Bali Musa said, he said that if your wife asks you to sweep, and you're going to sweep, at least do it with a smile. You're going to sweep anyway, so do it with a smile. What are you going to sweep and you're going to frown? You're going to be sweeping a lot more. You're going to have a lot more jobs after that. You're not gaining anything. At least sweep with a smile. Mostly for the husbands. Anyway, so we have to get the fast. So on page 122, let's at least do a paragraph here. Vatikim of Eutinus. You have to fast. Shaidei Shemar Vesatzmo. Through one, starving himself, fasting. Aidei Zemamshich Mene HaChasodim V'Lachlech Meitzer Adon. When you fast, and you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, you're fasting in order that you, because a person knows that eating is a big avoda, as the Zohar says, that lechem, bread, the mainstay of our eating, is also a lashon of lochem, melchama. Every time you eat bread, it's a melchama. How are you going to eat? With the klipas? Or are you going to fight against the klipas? So to eat is a big fight. To eat l'shem shemayim, to eat with kavana, is not easy. Right, we all say brachas, but even those brachas sometimes are absent-minded. It's not easy to eat. We eat too much sometimes. We eat things that aren't good for us. It's a big fight. So in order to help us with that fight, one has to fast. Hold yourself back from the eating. Tell the officers of power to take a hike. We don't need you right now. You're not on duty anymore. Get out of here. And now that allows, says Rabbi Nelson, the Meine Chasodim. I'm not sure if that was for me. That allows the water of Chesed to flow down into one's throat and moisten the Meitzer Hagar. The place of the throat happens to be from my head, which is wide, and my shoulders, which are wide. There's the throat is a narrow place. That's Matthias. So you're already in danger over there. So usually the officers of power are there. But if you fast and the officers of power are not there anymore because they're only there when you give them something to chew on, pun intended, right? When you have food, then the officers the chop and trying to mess you up. But if there's no food there, they're not there. But you still have a narrow throat. So when you fast, as I mean, you're allowing the waters of chasadim to flow and moisten your throat, allowing yourself to daven properly and to eat properly. The kain says the pasuk, krab garam, call out, scream out, and feel it from your throat. Al tachshach, don't hold back. There's not you got to scream out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, when a person davens absentmindedly, most often, not always, but if a person is davening absentmindedly, it's usually very quiet. You'll see. Pay attention tomorrow. And when a person's tired, he just davens like quiet, like with his lips. Like I'm doing right now. He might allow like some whispers to come out. You know? But when a person davens out loud, it's much harder to daven absentmindedly. You're davening out loud. You hear yourself. It wakes you up. Rabbi Nachman says you should daven out loud. He talks about the clouds and whatever it's holding you. Don't hold back. Let it out. Let the sounds come out of your garum. See, Paro and the Klipas try to chop those sounds, and they like when you whisper. Not so much Shmoneh Esrei. Let's talk about Tzvi Zimna. the Klippas like when you daven Pesukah Dezimra quietly. That's what they like, because then they get it. That's why specifically Hasidim are always davening out loud. Doesn't mean you have to scream your head off. That's another problem. But out loud. Say the words out loud. Read it like you would read whatever else you would read. But not, the problem is usually we read with our eyes. That's the problem. We're always reading with our eyes, all day long texts, all day long emails, all day long reading with your eyes. A yid can't just daven with his eyes. It's an avod of the dibur. So don't hold back. And when a person fasts and then he davens from that place, you fix up your amunah. You're allowing the dibur to come out. You're allowing the psukah dezimra to come out. You're not quiet about it. When you're quiet about it, you don't mean it. When you're out loud about it, you mean it. And that's amunah. Then you believe that Rabban Shalom is going to be mamba shirim, matir asirim, pokei chivrim, all these brachas. And therefore, we'll have to continue tomorrow because we're well over time here. But that's why it's usur to drink and eat and drink before davening, according to Breslov. It's usur to eat and drink because if you eat and drink before davening, you're allowing the klipos, the offers of paro, to be around that when you daven, they might chop your tefillah. But if you fast, well, again, we're going to pass this over tomorrow. If you fast and the officers are not there, now your davening has a free pass. So you have to daven properly. We're giving ourselves the best chance to daven. So that's why we'll see tomorrow. That's why also if you limit your eating and drinking, eating is definitely a problem, but your drinking, if you just drink a little water, it could be that you'll be okay. In our generation, Bezman Hazeh, we're a little bit weaker. We should bezochem et Hashem, not to allow the klipos. We should fast when we can fast, intermittently, and we should daven properly out loud with our brachas. Everybody have a good day. Bye, everybody.